Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Merci beaucoup. Hare Krishna, devotees. Bienvenue, merci beaucoup. Oh, oh bien content. What? Pour être avec. This one. Is that correct?
Yeah.
A little bit. Not too much. Okay, Hare Krishna devotees. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. And we will just get straight into it. Our seminar about leadership in Krishna consciousness. There's some interesting points I think that we'll discuss this evening, including some which some of yourselves brought up last night. Very good. It is nice that you are thinking. So yesterday we discussed some of the basic points distinguishing between management and leadership. Then we talked about what types of people are natural leaders, could be or should be leaders, yatra leaders, department heads, preachers, parents. And we even read that verse in purport 321, and Prabhupada said that the parents are natural leaders and the teachers natural leaders. Okay, so then we talked about, we made up a list of qualities of a leader, and we began discussing that beginning with what is, seems to me to be particularly important is the necessity to set a good example. And in a natural way, to be that, not just to, you know, put on an act, dress up in the right ways, and appear very Krishna conscious with hand in bead bag all the time. But as soon as you go home, on comes the television with the latest movie from Shah Rukh Khan. And so we say, if you want to help yourself in Krishna consciousness, get up early and chant. If you want to help yourself. And avoid things like that if you want to help yourself. And if you want to go backwards in Krishna consciousness, yeah, if you want to come down to a lower level, then don't get up early. And don't chant your rounds early. And watch lots of television. If you do that, you'll be very successful at going backwards in Krishna consciousness and losing your, or reducing at least, and maybe even losing the Krishna consciousness. Then we talked about the need for setting a good example for grihasthas, because basically you're all grihasthas. And the people you deal with are basically grihasthas. And if they're not, they probably will be, if they're younger people. And they so much need good examples. Oh, you know, senior leaders and maybe managers too, in some or many cases. If you haven't done yet, you need to start a grihastha like ministry or something, department. It's so important, with different aspects, helping young people to become grihasthas, rather than, you know, they just have to work it out for themselves, go to the disco, see who they meet. It's not the way. But to help them, yeah, like a sort of marriage bureau, sort of that sort of thing, for introducing people and so on, and then training programs to train them so they can become grihasthas, and then training programs for the children. I guess we have that to some degree with Bhaktivedanta College or whatever other programs, Sunday schools, so that's good. But then helping grihasthas who get into sort of difficulty with each other, their problems within the marriage, these things happen. Anyway, that's sort of by the way, really. It's just something which is important. It's not exactly part of our seminar, but it is really, really important, just extremely important. So, okay, now we're going to move on to vision as an aspect of leadership in Krishna consciousness. Vision. Leading means you're going somewhere. I remember, it really struck me, many years ago, when Ronald Reagan, remember him, when he first became the president of America, so I don't know when that was, but a good few years ago, then he was a very good leader in a sense, that he was very charismatic and attractive. But he didn't really know so much. So I remember seeing a cartoon, and there's Ronald Reagan flying off into the jungle. And in the jungle, there are all these like menacing creatures, but he's just going into the jungle, no problem. And there's a couple of guys watching him, and they say to each other, "Well, I don't know where he's going, but I like the way he leads." Because there's many dangers out there, you know. as devotees. There are many dangers and challenges. So we need a vision. So again, you know, some of these things overlap with each other, some of them. So in order to have a vision, the right vision, you have to understand Prabhupada's books. You really do. You have to understand, what the other, like the GBCs, what they want, the more senior devotees and leaders, what the GBC body wants, these types of things. Otherwise, you may go leading off in a somewhat wrong direction. You know, we had a devotee in Russia. There's a city called Omsk. Omsk. O-M-S-K. Omsk. And they have got there now the first installed Radha Krishna deities in the former Soviet Union in an actual ISKCON temple. Anyway, this one devotee, he was like the yatra leader, and he developed an intriguing, interesting philosophy that in order to be able to preach to people, you have to know what's going on. I mean, really know in detail, including what are the latest movies. And he started, it was basically a movie club in the temple, actually, and showing all the latest. And you know, they're not into Bollywood, but they're into Hollywood. And all the latest whatever. And, you know, this was, he felt he was leading, inspiring the devotees in a certain way. But it was a bit of a going off track. So yeah. A vision is required. But it should be based on the right principles and not something off track. Because, you know, if you're just responsible for yourself, you can only mess up yourself. But if you're responsible for 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, etc., etc., 200, 500 devotees, you can mess them all up. You know, the temple president in Bangalore went Ritvik. And in his way, he's a very powerful leader, very charismatic. But he got this wrong idea. It's just, you know, it's amazing how wrong the idea is. But because he was such a leader, all the people under him, or the great majority, they accepted it. And many of them still do. So, in order to have a vision, a proper vision, you have to be tuned in to what is really Krishna conscious. By being tuned into Prabhupada, the senior devotees, the GBC body, and like that. So, one thing that we actually encourage all of our leaders to do, And if we were going to sort of carry on with this for some days, I would ask you to do it as part of the seminar. But I will at least suggest strongly that you do it anyway, is you make for yourself or your whatever group you may be leading, or even if it's just yourself, then you make it up for yourself. You make a mission statement. Have you heard this term before? Mission statement. It means you actually figure out, what are we really trying to do here? And like prioritize what we're trying to do, what we're trying to achieve. A mission statement. You know, there's the tendency, not just the tendency, not exactly universal, but it's very widespread. We just assume we know what our mission is. We just assume. Like, we're going back to Godhead. Where do we go? Or, you know, we got to make more devotees. We got to distribute more books. True, it's all true. And for leaders, these types of ideas are very important. But it really helps. It really helps. It's a big thing. I'm emphasizing it very strongly. That you figure out what is your mission, or the mission of your group, if you're leading a group. And you figure that out, and you write it down, and you prioritize the different things. And, you know, I think you'll find that it helps a lot, rather than just a basic assumption that, you know, we've got to develop love for Krishna, or make all of Mauritius Krishna conscious. Ideas like this, which are nice. So yes, leaders are people who have mission statements. Which, in other words, it's their vision. That's, they're expressing their vision. Where we are going, what we are doing, what we want to achieve in a systematic way. So in order to do that, you know, in order to make up a mission statement, you have to sit down and think about it. You don't just come up, you know, just write a mission statement, there you go. You got to think about it and really understand what is your mission, actually, and then all the different aspects of it, etc. Okay, so now, there are a number of points we came up with. We'll try and go through them all. Anyway, it's important, if you have a mission statement, if you have a clear vision, the people following you will have confidence. Much more than if it's just, you know, a general sort of thing, like we're just doing something. But if it's very specific, and it's something which, like, if you are in charge of a temple or a center, then you can, and actually you should, print your mission statement nicely and put it on the board, wherever the board is, where everyone will see it. And then not just the devotees, but everyone, the visitors, they'll seek your mission statement, and they'll all feel like that, inspired, that these people are organized, they know what they're doing, they know where they're going, and it really encourages them to get involved. Just like when you're out on book distribution. You don't have to be a big philosopher. You don't have to be a clever salesman. You know, one of the main things, if not the main thing you have to be, is happy. Happy and nice. And then people are sort of drifting around flack, drifting around their lives, kind of semi-aimlessly. Then they meet you. And so many, if you're really like that, then they think, wow, you know, I met a special person. It makes a real impression. Anyway, so vision. Vision and expressing the vision is extremely important for leadership in Krishna consciousness. Now, how about let us look at, well, another one of our points was caring. If you're going to lead people, you have to care. If they, you know, if you are the leader and they are just sort of like the pawns, you understand what a pawn is? Yeah, just the, like, the faceless workers who you as the leader kind of just push around. It's not going to work. You know, many things in Krishna consciousness will work for a while, but then they won't work after a while. And this is one. If you don't care, if you just manipulate people and you don't actually care about them, then after some time it won't work. So Prabhupada really cared. Prabhupada cared in different ways. You know, Prabhupada cared, for example, he cared enough to inquire about how different devotees were. It was very important. You know, one of our very successful temples in America, they have it may be monthly, little yatra magazine, sort of simple thing, and they include, you know, they include people's birthdays, they include if someone is sick, and, you know, for example, when someone's sick, they put it in the newsletter, they go and see them. They go and see them. How many of you from FLAC? Nobody. It's amazing. Other than Amma. Oh, and Vivek. Do you know, anyway, do you know that one of our devotees, or I think he's a devotee, or parent of a devotee, you know, he's around Krishna consciousness. Do you know he almost died the other day? Got hit by a car? He was on a little motorbike. Oh, flat. And just driving on the road just outside town, hit and run. And some people, I think it was at night. I'm not sure what time it was. But anyway, hit and run. And then some people were just driving along and they saw him and brought him to the hospital. Did you know that? Well, look, you know, I'm happy to say, don't mind me saying it, but as soon as we heard this, it was like, sure, after 9 o'clock we were driving back from sort of Petit Refrain area, Goodlands area somewhere, coming here. And it was 9:30 or so we found out. We went to see him in the hospital. It was 10 o'clock at night. We went to see him in the hospital. And anyway, it's just the right thing to do, you know. We should care about our devotees, and particularly if you are meant to be a leader, take the lead in caring about the devotees, because it makes a difference. You know, really, I don't know how many devotees, but many, have told me that they got sick, they ended up in hospital, or they went bankrupt, or some tragedy occurred. But particularly they got sick and they ended up in hospital and they, you know, it was really difficult for them. And no devotees came to visit them. Or maybe just one devotee in a week. Yeah, I mean, over the many years, many devotees have told me that. But that the Christians came. I don't know about here in Mauritius, but in other places, people become Christians because the Christians care. Or at least, you know, they make it look like they care. They come and visit you in the hospital and visit you at home, and they, it's like a whole family environment, family, big family mood. So caring for leaders, caring is really important. And of course sometimes it's inconvenient. You know, we arrived at the hospital, it was 10 o'clock at night already. We only left at like approximately 10:30. So it takes some trouble, but it makes a difference. So, yeah, Prabhupada once, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada cared. There are many stories about Prabhupada caring. There was one girl, young woman, joined the temple in Los Angeles, and she was a bit of an artist. Some sort of artist. And she wanted to paint for Prabhupada's books. So they told her, okay, you paint something and we'll show it to Prabhupada and we'll see. So she painted a painting. And she went in, she was brought in with, I think, Jayadvaita Maharaj and a couple of the other most senior BBT men. And the painting was presented to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at this painting. And he asked, what is this? And the girl said, this is Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. Hare Krishna, look at this. This one, Boba Sam, has arrived. Welcome. So, Krishna looked like he was in pain, basically. Like, you know, in some sort of deep anxiety, and almost like a depression. And Prabhupada said, the girl said, well, this is Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. And Prabhupada said, this is not what Krishna looks like when he's feeling separation. Prabhupada said, this is what a young boy, a materialistic boy looks like if he's lost his girlfriend. He just looks depressed. And that girl just broke down crying, just lost control, and just cried. And there she was, just sitting in Prabhupada's room crying. The devotees didn't know what to do. Should we drag her out, or what do we do? So then Prabhupada, looking at the girl, and Prabhupada said, wait a minute, 1 minute. And he looked at the painting again, and he said, I know, we will call this painting, Krishna Has a Headache. So, this is Prabhupada caring. And you know, talk about a big leader. You know, Prabhupada's the leader. Thousands of people under him. But he took that trouble to care about this new person. Now, you know, if you're a leader of something, which it depends on how many people you're leading. If you become the leader, for example, of a big temple, or at least, you know, like Krishna Balaram temple, Radha, Golokananda, they're not that big, but they got big congregations, fairly big at least. So, you know, if you really get into caring, and the devotees understand that you care, they will come to you. They'll come to you a lot. And you may find they come to you so much that you can't keep up with it. Yeah. And, you know, you're trying to chant your rounds, it's 5:30 in the morning, people are phoning you with their problems. 6 o'clock, someone rolls up with their problem. So, and this is now specifically in terms of like a higher level of leadership. In order to care effectively, you may have to make, and you know, when it reaches a certain point, you will have to make like a structure, a system for caring. Yeah. I can give you an example. I don't know. It's an example. Jayapataka Maharaj. He has a team of secretaries answering mail. His secretariat is a lot bigger than the secretariat of the GBC body. Anyway, you know, devotees, they may also not appreciate sort of just getting form letters and getting letters written by other people. That's another consideration. But for a leader of something big enough, in order to care effectively, then you, at a certain point of growth and development, you will have to put in a structure to help you care, which is all part of caring. And when devotees feel cared for, then, you know, like Prabhupada cared for the devotees, devotees feel cared for, they'll be ready to do anything. Anything. Work hard. Late hours. Weekends. If they're cared for. Like, also, this is in regard to book distribution, if any of you are involved in book distribution or leading the book distribution team. In one sense, it's good for a leader to lead from the front. In regard to book distribution, that would mean to go out and actually do it. But it may also be, in regard to book distribution, that if you lead the devotees and you work with the devotees and you care for the devotees and, you know, you're organizing things for the devotees and, you know, just so they can go out and distribute books a lot, then it may be a better use of your time, possibly, to make those arrangements rather than just going out. It depends. Well, that's a thought. Let us now talk about, let's talk about humility and service attitude. They can go together. Prabhupada was very humble. Sometimes people think that in order to be a leader, you've got to be sort of tough. You know, a little on the macho side. That sort of person. But Prabhupada, we see, Prabhupada was very humble. Go back to caring for 1 minute. I want to tell you an interesting little story. I don't know if you're familiar with this story, but it's about Prabhupada caring. And like his perspective on devotees in terms of his caring and how he expressed it. One devotee told us this. He was present when Prabhupada was being massaged, and Prabhupada's secretary was reading the mail to Prabhupada. So, and this other devotee was there listening. As the letters were read out. So, one devotee had written a letter, the secretary was reading it out, and in that letter, that devotee said, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. Srila Prabhupada, I have a problem with smoking. I really try, but sometimes I just can't control myself. I end up smoking. And then I smoke for a little while." So now this devotee is listening. The devotee who told us about this. He's sitting there listening as this is being read out to Prabhupada. And the devotee sitting there listening, he's thinking to himself, "Smoking? Come on. Be serious, will you? We don't smoke." So the devotee in the letter said, "Yes, you know, then I smoke for a while, then I stop. And then I'm okay for a few days or a few weeks, and then somehow I end up smoking again." And this devotee is listening. And he's thinking, "What a nonsense. He's not a devotee. What sort of devotee is this? Come on. He's not a real devotee." And the letter's being read out. And then I smoke, and then for a few days, a few weeks, I'm smoking. Then I stop. And so, like, this is the letter. And then the secretary finished reading the letter. And Prabhupada sitting there, just, you know, like, very pensive, meditative. And this devotee is thinking, What a nonsense. What a rascal. He's not really a devotee. And then Prabhupada spoke. And Prabhupada said, what a great soul. He's struggling so hard for Krishna. Even though he has this terrible problem, and it's so difficult for him, but he's trying. He's trying for Krishna. What a great soul. It's an interesting perspective, isn't it? It's a real caring mood. It's a real caring mood. So, okay, now, humility. You know, Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Varanasi and he met with Prakashananda Saraswati and his 60,000 disciples, that must have been a big program. Lord Chaitanya, he arrived there and he sat in the place where people washed their feet. Lord Chaitanya was very humble. And Prabhupada was very humble. There's a famous story, you might have read about it. It's in that red book, Prabhupada Nectar of Satsarup Maharaj. And there, all the devotees, Prabhupada was leaving, flying out from the airport, going somewhere. And so all the devotees came. It was just, the devotees just took over the airport. And kirtan and everything. And Prabhupada was sitting with some senior devotees around him discussing some things. And the airport authorities came and complained to the devotees, you're blocking the way. So the message got to the GBC, the local GBC. His name was Rupa Nuka. That, you know, you've got to clear the way, you just got to clear the way right now. So he stood up on a chair and he made this like official announcement. Dear devotees, please give me your attention. All of you, listen to me. Everyone, Prabhupada was sitting on that side. And his idea, this Rupa Nuka, was, let Prabhupada sit there with just a few devotees, and all the other devotees, they should go to the other side. So he said, all the devotees, move to this side. And then, you know, come on, move, and you also, yeah, you move, and the two of you, yeah, no, you've got to move over the side, that's the whole thing. And everyone moved over. And then he looked back to where Prabhupada was sitting. Because the idea was not to crowd Prabhupada, let him sit there, you know, peacefully with some senior people. And with all the general devotees going south. So he looked over to where Prabhupada was, and Prabhupada wasn't there. Prabhupada had moved over to the other side. Obeying the instructions of the leader. So Prabhupada was very humble. Yeah. And there are a number of different incidents of that sort when Prabhupada was very humble. So, and his mood was servant. Humble in the sense of being a servant. Serving the devotees. And sometimes devotees think if you're going to be a leader, you're going to be a bit bossy or a manager. You know, when I first started, my first leadership or management, really, I'd been a devotee about 3 months. They made me the temple commander in London, central London, Bury Place. And there was like 70 devotees at least. And I was about the most junior. I was definitely one of the most junior. And I had to, you know, I had to get them to do things. And sometimes devotees, if you don't come across in the right way, you ask someone, could you wash the pots, please? And they got a good reason not to. And could you wash the pots, please? And he's got a good reason not to. And you may end up washing the pots or doing everything because you can't get anyone to do anything. So you end up doing everything yourself. So I adopted a strategy. I'm not recommending this. I'm sort of giving it as an example of the wrong thing to do. I wouldn't ask them. I would tell them. Oh, yes. I would tell them. And you know, sometimes it was okay. But they're all senior to me, at least 90% of them are senior to me. And some of them didn't like it. And they told me, this one devotee sort of, you know, you could say, he sort of snarled at me. I mean, in a pretty mean way. You are so heavy. And then, so I decided to change my strategy. And I started asking, but nicely, I mean, trying at least to be nice. Yeah. And I found out that if you're nice to devotees, and if you're the leader, if you're sort of authorized, and if you're nice to them, they'll do almost anything. And you don't have to kind of pressurize them. You would like to do this service, wouldn't you? That was one of my approaches. So, humility, in general, humility, I'm sure you're aware, is just one of the most important parts of being a devotee. Yeah. Trinada Pisani Chena. We all know that verse. One should chant an humble state of mind. So, yeah. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, well, actually, Lord Chaitanya says we should wear that verse around our necks like a necklace. In other words, it should just be inseparable from our being, a part of our existence. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta one time was asked, is there a secret Do you know the secret? How to become Krishna conscious? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, yes, I know the secret. I know the secret. Trinada pi sumichena. Troya eva sahishmina. Malina maladena kirtaniya sadhari. So if you're humble, but in that mood of inspiration, that mood of leadership, but in a humble frame of mind, a humble condition, devotees will notice it, and they'll appreciate it, and they'll become happy to accept your leadership. But if you're bossy, then you know, you'll find the number of devotees in your group reduces until you may be there on your own. You are the leader and the follower at the same time. It's easy to become proud. I mean, not just easy to become proud, but we are all proud to start off with. It's difficult to stop being proud. And you should know, Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, in the description of the rasa dance, Prabhupada describes, well, it's described there how Krishna left the gopis because they felt they became proud. That Krishna is dancing with me. They became a little proud. So then Krishna left them all and went away with Radharani. And then Krishna left Radharani also. So it's all a bit of a long story, but one point Prabhupada makes there, Prabhupada says, Krishna can tolerate practically any type of fault in a devotee, as long as they remain devotees. Krishna's very tolerant, but he cannot tolerate pride. Cannot tolerate pride. Yeah. So when Krishna sees humility, enthusiasm, inspiration, and sees you really trying to work with the devotees, enliven them, and lead them, help them to move forward, Krishna appreciates it a lot. Krishna becomes extremely appreciative. Anyway, it's as leaders, it's really important. Humility, being a servant leader and not the boss leader. This is really important. And we, as leaders, we have to really be careful about how we lead and how we carry ourselves. And how we present ourselves, and how we allow devotees to deal with us. There's no coming from the other side. How we allow devotees to deal with us. For example, I'm going to raise a topical issue now. You may need to fasten your seatbelts. Are you ready? Got your flak jackets on? So, yeah, okay. We have to be careful how we present ourselves, of course. We have to be careful about how we allow other devotees to relate with us. When you're a leader, it's important. Because our devotees, you know, bless their hearts, they can get carried away about their leaders. Yeah. And you may be just trying to be a bit of a leader somehow. And they may think that you have just descended from Goloka. In other words, they may think that you are more than what you are and start interacting with you, addressing you, and dealing with you in ways which are beyond your actual position and just not favorable for your Krishna consciousness, your humility, and the idea of you being a servant leader as opposed to the big leader. Like, so, yeah, this is sort of a topical thing, to some degree at least. I mean, as a principle, it's extremely important. But there's a particular sort of phenomenon which I've encountered here myself in Mauritius. I don't know how widespread it is really, but I've definitely encountered it. And some senior devotees have complained to me about it. So senior old leaders, I just thought I'd throw it out to you and you can, I don't know, think about it. I wouldn't say it's really clear to me. I mean, the whole thing's really clear. I wouldn't even say that, but it concerns me. And I fear there may be some parts of it which are not appropriate, in the sense that certain leaders may be kind of allowing themselves to be dealt with on higher levels than they should allow themselves to be dealt with, if you get the idea. Like, I'll give you an example. When Prabhupada was still present, there was a devotee called Hansaduta. He's not a member of ISKCON now. He's a devotee to some degree, I guess. But he was a big leader at the time. Big, big leader. He was a GBC, and he was a very powerful leader in Germany. That was his headquarters, and a few other parts of Europe. And the devotees started, some of them, quite a few, putting his photo on the altar. Yeah. At home, they had big traveling Sankirtan program, very big. Like, I don't know, 70 or 80 devotees, I don't know, maybe even 100, but really quite a number. And lots of vans. And they were just out Monday to Saturday. They were just traveling all over Germany and various other surrounding areas. And some number of them would put his picture on the altar in their van or at home, but mainly in their vans. And Prabhupada found out about it. And the thing is, Hansaduta didn't stop them. He didn't stop them. He knew it. Everybody knew it. And even, you know, we were in England, we knew about it. So it was well known. And he didn't stop them. And Prabhupada found out. And if you look in the letters, books, or Prabhupada's books and conversations, etc., on computer, the folio, you'll find some letters Prabhupada wrote about it, in which he's discouraging them, the devotees, from doing like this. and pointing out that it's not, you know, it's nice to respect a senior Vaishnava, sure. It's nice, of course. But, you know, it's not really, this is taking it too far. So, yeah, you know, I've come across the phenomenon in some quarters in Mauritius of devotees using the term, say, of address of Siksha Guru for devotees who, at least in my experience, and it seems the experience of a few others who I said complained to me, that it's kind of, it's not really appropriate. At least this is, you know, I'm feeling it may well not be appropriate. I mean, perhaps there's need for more discussion, I don't know, but yeah, and from what I understand, as far as I understand, which, you know, isn't really that much, but to some degree, that the devotees who are being addressed as Siksha Gurus are accepting it and not stopping the devotees. And anyway, I've come across this phenomenon in other places, exactly this phenomenon in other places, and the devotees who are, you know, meant to be the Siksha Gurus, quote unquote, after a little while they got into spiritual difficulty because they kind of got a bit out of their depth, really. So, anyway, it's just a thought, really, more than anything, which I'm bringing up in the context of humility and being a servant leader in regards to leadership in Krishna consciousness. I mean, I understand, I can understand and I accept that those devotees who may be being addressed as Siksha Gurus, they are, I'm sure, helping the devotees who are addressing them like that, you know, helping them nicely. But just because someone's helping you nicely doesn't necessarily mean they're your Siksha Guru as such. Siksha Guru means, ultimately it means basically on the same level as your Diksha Guru. It's more or less the same thing. Yeah. Except just one initiates and the other is only sort of limited to instructing. But what seems to be, to me, to be more appropriate, and it's very widespread, and it's becoming more and more widespread now, at least in terms of like an attitude and a basic sort of perspective on the leader, which the leader could accept that these people see me in this way, is something like, well, now here in Mauritius, I believe, Giriraj Maharaj is introducing, what is it? Mitra, is it called?
Yeah,
where, you know, a more senior devotee gives guidance. And it's a type of program which is going on in many places around the world and going on very successfully. Often they're called counselors, mentors. It's like an official role. Yeah. And yeah, I know many of these devotees who have, say, 10, 15, 20, you know, some number like that of people who they are mentoring, counseling, and you know, giving good input and helping the devotees in many cases, really helping them making a big difference. So, you know, I don't want now that everyone goes out from here and spreads the word. You know, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami said, so, you know, anyone who's calling anyone a Siksha Guru, they're Maya. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I'm still thinking about it, really. Yeah, because also there are Siksha Gurus on different levels. I have a feeling that the sort of role the devotees are being addressed as Siksha Gurus, what it may sort of conform more to is more like a Vatma Pradarshika type of guru, if we want to use guru terminology. So, but anyway, my point here in terms of our seminar, in terms of leadership in Krishna consciousness, is that, and it's really important, if you become a successful leader, which, you know, I'm sure that so many, if not all of you, have got really good potential to do, and some of you already are, then you are going to get some people turning around and really respecting you. And in some cases, some of them will over-respect you. They will. But don't accept it. You don't have to accept it. You know, you don't have to tell him that, oh, you know, I don't want to disappoint him. But don't accept glorification beyond, you know, which conflicts with reality and which conflicts with humility. It's very important. And this is a more sort of confidential discussion because you are more senior type devotees. It's not something which I would just discuss like in the Sunday class or something like that. But it's a sort of subject that leaders have to consider. Yeah, as leaders, you're going to have to consider all sorts of things, interesting and intriguing and sometimes challenging things. Yeah. Did I shock anyone? Did anyone fall off their seat? Is anyone feeling faint? Yeah, so humility is very important. And humility, you know, of course, humility is just so nice. Everyone appreciates a humble devotee. There was devotee Jayananda. I'm sure so many of you have heard of Jayananda. And Prabhupada really appreciated Jayananda. Really appreciated him. And this one, another devotee was telling me a story about, again, his own experience. He was at Los Angeles Temple. Prabhupada was there and Jayananda was there too. And this devotee, well, Prabhupada would give class every morning. And then he would get off the Vyasasan and walk out of the temple room, more or less following the same route every day. And this devotee decided what he wanted to do. He wanted to position himself strategically on the path that Prabhupada would take. And then when Prabhupada came by, he wanted to go, Jai Prabhupada. And then hopefully Prabhupada would say, Hare Krishna, or something like that. In this way he would have an exchange with Prabhupada. So he positioned himself strategically. And Prabhupada got off the Vyasa's and started walking down the route. And the devotees getting ready now, warming up. And Prabhupada's coming, Prabhupada's like a meter and a half away and coming towards him. He's already, suddenly Prabhupada just turned away and walked, you know, across the temple room into the kitchen. Because Jayananda was in the kitchen cooking for the devotees. And Prabhupada wanted to see Jayananda. So Prabhupada went in, there's Jayananda cooking, he missed the class. And Prabhupada went and spoke with him, and then he went out sort of the other way. And that devotee missed his chance. So, you know, humility and the servant mood, it's very attractive and it's very powerful. Now, we came up with quite a number, actually, of other qualities which I just want to touch on a few of them now. I want to touch on forgiveness. To be able to forgive is really important for a leader. It's really important for any devotee, but particularly if you're a leader and you're dealing with people and you have to be able, you know, to inspire them and encourage them. So, unfortunately, the reality is, in this material world, from time to time, many devotees make blunders. Really. And if you're leading devotees, you're going to have this happen to you. And some of them will do innocent blunders, and some of them will actually be irresponsible and nonsense. Yeah. And you're going to have to deal with it. And if you, for example, if you lose your self-control and you chastise them too heavily, then, you know, you're 90% likely you've just alienated the person kind of permanently. Yeah. An extremely good chance you've permanently alienated the person. Yeah. So even sometimes you may have to, you know, say something and correct them and be, you know, a little strong with them. Little, not too much. But sometimes you may have to do like that. They should really do it in a nice way and be able to forgive them. And don't just have it lurking in your mind whenever you see this devotee. It's him again. Oh my God. To be able to forgive devotees and embrace them, at least within your heart, and physically too. If you're leading them, that's really important. Really important. Don't hold grudges. They're like poison. They're like poison in the heart. If you hold a grudge against a devotee. And for what it's worth, in South Africa, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Approximately 2 weeks ago. Nelson Mandela died. And It was big. It was really, 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 really massive. Massive, gigantic. 60 heads of state. Another 30 or more ex-heads of state. You know, practically all the biggest people in the world came. Yeah. And they were glorifying him. And we also, just by force of circumstances, I mean, we're not really interested in politics, but we had to get involved to some degree. Yeah. So, very interesting thing. Nelson Mandela, he had some interest in Krishna consciousness. I'm not going to get into that now. But he was being glorified by these big people like Obama. He's more or less the most powerful person on the planet. And, you know, the way he spoke about Nelson Mandela, my God. You know, you could hardly glorify a person more in material terms. I mean, it was just really extreme. But, yeah. Anyway, there were three qualities of him, Nelson Mandela's, which were just repeatedly being mentioned by people in the dozens and hundreds of speeches that were being made in these, you know, just a huge number of events with huge numbers of people. Three main qualities of his as a leader. One was his humility. And I met him myself. I had to show him around our temple. And, you know, like 2 or 3 hours I was with him. And it was clear, he was a very humble person. He wasn't one of these big shot, big guys. He was really pleasant, decent, interested, and inspired, actually, by Krishna consciousness and by Prabhupada. So humility. These materialistic people are glorifying him for being humble. Then the second was forgiveness. Because he got locked up for 27 years. For no good reason, really. It was just purely political. And locked up in any prison is unpleasant, but this was particularly unpleasant prison, Robben Island. But he came out, and oftentimes, you know, these political people, if they get locked up, and then they get out, and then they take over, they catch all the previous government and execute them, or at least lock them up, really, particularly in Africa. But Nelson Mandela didn't do that. He forgave them. And not only did he forgive them, he got the whole ANC to forgive them. And that's pretty powerful, actually. Yeah. So, interesting. And then the third thing was how broad-minded he was. Equal to everyone. No favorites. Even though he's African. And he was abused by this, you know, heavy racist white government. But he was not anti-white and he was not pro-African. So anyway, interesting. So we have, as leaders, a leader has to be broad-minded and not have favorites. Well, someone last night mentioned a leader should be diplomatic. you know, diplomatic, there's certain sort of connotations. It really conveys the idea of, like, being dishonest and being nice, but in a dishonest way. Prabhupada said, politics means the art of being polite. And, you know, sometimes you see these big politicians, and you know they hate each other. They hate each other. But then they meet in some public event. They embrace each other. Oh, that's diplomacy. Yeah. So we don't want to really be diplomatic in that sense. But we have to be able to express ourselves, say the truth nicely. There's a saying, sort of like a saying, I am strong-willed, you are stubborn, and he is pig-headed. You follow what's happening. He is saying about himself, I'm strong-willed. The other person, you know, if you ask them, they'll say they're strong-willed too. But you say, look, you are stubborn. And the third person, if you ask him, he'll also say he's strong-willed. But you say he's pig-headed. So, you know, it's not exactly diplomacy, but a leader has to be able to tell the truth, not be dishonest. You know, if you start becoming dishonest with the devotees you're leading, you know, they'll find out and it won't work for long. So you have to be able to tell the truth, but in ways that are acceptable to the devotees. Yeah. And this is a good one. Try and remember this. This is a really good one, actually. I judge myself by my intentions. I judge others by their actions. This is extremely common. You know, someone does something wrong, they disturb someone, and you come up and you say, why did you do that? And they say, well, I didn't mean to do that. He's judging himself by his intentions. But the other people who he just mistreated, they're not judging him by his intentions. They may not even know his intentions. They're judging him by his actions. So when you lead people, understand, they will judge you. They will judge you. And they will judge you by your actions, not by your intentions. So in terms of being diplomatic or, you know, dealing appropriately, don't forget that. Don't forget that. People will judge you by your actions. So really try and make sure that your actions are appropriate. Someone mentioned being a good listener. For a leader, that's extremely important. We sort of expanded it last night by mentioning it's actually in material circles, but it's just common sense. First of all, try to understand before trying to be understood. One of the main shortcomings of leaders who haven't done a lot of leading yet, you know, they're just beginning to be leaders, is they too quickly jump to conclusions and too quickly quickly try to offer solutions, but they have not understood the problem and the feelings of the person and, you know, the subtleties involved. So do yourselves a favor, remember this, it's really important. Try to understand first, clearly, and just make sure, through questioning, make sure you have understood, and then you can start offering solutions. Then you can start presenting things for the people to understand. Hare Krishna. These are some thoughts. It's sort of a little bit like the tip of the iceberg. It's a big subject, but it's better than nothing. I hope you've got some food for thought from it. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhupada. We mentioned
vision,
right.
Followed by mission statement.
Yes, yes.
But then, how is the mission statement different in all Namakas or not?
Okay, that's a good point. There would be, you would expect, and I'm sure there would be, a lot of things in common. But it's quite possible and even fairly likely that each Namahata, due to the particular social environment and the membership of the Namahata, the natures of the devotees and, you know, what they're capable of, what they're not so capable of, it's quite likely there would be some variations. Yeah. You would expect. So, you know, maybe for Namahattas, there could be a basic mission statement, or say like a foundation which would apply, and then certain details which could be added in terms of the particular group. What do you think? It might be. It's quite likely. But, you know, these things have to be thought about. But, you know, I think you'd probably find that certain foundational principles would be common. Yeah. Yes, Siddhartha Prabhu.
How do devotees work in line with Mr. Prabhupada's vision?
Should everyone? Well, yes, of course they should. When I was beginning the discussion about vision, that was one of the things I said, that in order to be able to develop a proper vision and not some sort of, you know, deviated vision, the devotees have to know what Prabhupada says and know what scripture says, and even know what the GBC body says, and the local other, like if there's a national council, for example, we don't have here, but if there's a national council or regional council, understand what their perspective is, like this. Yeah, otherwise, and I did mention what, I mentioned about the root things. They have a vision. But unfortunately, because they don't understand Shastra sufficiently, and they don't understand Prabhupada's vision sufficiently, they've got a vision, they've got a mission, but it's deviated to some degree. Yeah, in important ways, it's badly deviated, even though it's not completely deviated. You know, they accept Prabhupada, that's nice. They accept Krishna, that's nice. Yeah. So, yeah, another thing I said about that, you know, it's an important point, vision and having a mission statement, is that it needs to be thought about and discussed with the relevant devotees to develop the thing. And, you know, even sometimes you may work out a mission statement, then after a little while you have to change it. That's okay, because it does take time for things to become clear, and sometimes things change too. Yeah. You know, the Namahatta may become a temple or a preaching center. It may just be in people's houses, but then there's a permanent preaching center, so that the vision and things would change to some degree. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you all very much. Merci beaucoup. Bahut dhanyavaad. I don't know if this was what you expected. Did you know? Did you have expectations in this center? So, I hope you were not let down. But I think there were some interesting things which you could learn from and apply.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj for enlightening us in spiritual leadership. Merci beaucoup, beaucoup, Maharaj. And we seek to have some more seminars in this kind, so that we can grow in our Krishna consciousness in another dimension. Yeah? So that as ISKCON is a growing movement, we are very expanding, and we have to take responsibility and fulfill the Prabhupada mission. And we are all tools of the Prabhupada, so if we work harmoniously, we can achieve our goal. So thank you very much, all devotees, for your presence and for cooperation. And we shall meet again. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
And we have prasadam for all devotees. And thank you, CCV, here for giving us a place so that we can hold such a seminar here. Hare Krishna.